Welcome, welcome one and all to the upgrading session. Come on in, close the doors.
Apes around.
Lots of space. You got a coffee. I didn't get a coffee, man.
I didn't know you wanted a
coffee,
man.
I was too busy working up here.
I'm from Australia. We don't do that sort of thing.
Nice. This is How to Get There, part number one. There is a two-part series. There is a break in between about how Microsoft builds the modern city or something like that. I don't know how that session got in here.
No idea.
I don't know what it's about. We're going to be talking about how to get yourselves from 2003, 2008, 2008 R2 up to 2012. And I will let you know right now that essentially there is no difference for the upgrade procedures that we're going to be talking about if you're using 2012 or 2012 R2. It's essentially the same. So when you see the words 2012 up here, you can assume it's 2012/2012 R2, what we're going about. In case you haven't already figured out, for me, I've just said it like four times, my out and about Canadian accent sticks in every once in a while, so I apologize if it's a little thick and you guys can't understand. Your accent, however.
My accent can be understood here, but pretty much not anywhere else in the world.
You got it. Mm-hmm. That's Andrew McMurray, technical evangelist from Microsoft Australia, based out of
Melbourne. Actually, I'm at the Microsoft Phillip Island office, actually. So we do heaps of IT work during the day and then go kill a penguin at night. It's good fun.
And just to make perfectly clear, I am Canadian, not American. I live in America right now, working for Microsoft Corp. But I'm Rick Claus, senior technical evangelist. You reach both of us on Twitter if you're interested. You can tweet us any questions throughout the session. We'll get back to you when you're at the bar having pints. RicksterCDN and @MaccaMSOZ.
One caveat to that, if we are going to be answering them whilst drinking pints, the answers may not be quite what you expect.
Yes. And I actually got a question during my storage session. Will there be maple syrup given away? And yes, for good questions, I have three bottles of Canadian maple syrup to give away. This is for the small okay questions. It's only 1 ounce, 30 mils. And this is the one you really want to win. That's the 60 mil bottle right there. So it's double the amount that's available.
Which is a bit of a shame.
I was going to have a challenge for you,
oh, okay.
But I don't have enough to, I want to give them away. For a bad answer or a demo failure is going to make him chug a bottle of maple syrup.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because last week in Australia, he presented me with a litre bottle of maple syrup. Now, I was actually wondering whether or not to try and drink the entire litre during the session today.
I confirmed that it would, in fact, kill you.
Yeah, apparently I wouldn't survive to the next one. So,
too much sugar and the sugar intake. Let's get started. This
okay.
is Active Directory. We're both Active Directory geeks. Been working with Active Directory for a very long time. And you're all Active Directory geeks because you're in this room, or there were no other sessions you wanted to attend, one or the other. So I asked a question, basically, back in TechEd North America time frame, and I actually got a number of responses, both from what I call the Queen and Commonwealth countries, like the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the rest of them, more so than I got from the United States, which is rather interesting, about what part of IT infrastructure you are the most concerned about upgrading. So I'm going to ask you, what part of the infrastructure are you most concerned about upgrading? Just shout it out. AD. Of course it's AD, because you're inside the session, of course. Well, believe it or not, my informal, absolutely not to be trusted poll of like maybe 120 people, so it does not accurately represent a Forrester research or IDC research paper, comes back and basically puts the green, which is C, which happens to represent application servers as the most difficult. Every single application server that's out there, SharePoint, SQL, Exchange, SAP, insert company name X product over there, each have their own upgrade procedures that you have to follow. We're talking about the core infrastructure stuff. So obviously, yes, that has a lot of stress on some people. But the next thing that comes up there is A, which is domain controllers, which is why you're all here in this room. We'll talk about the rest of the stuff at some other point. But basically, AD is something that a lot of people are terrified to have to go off and upgrade. So what version of Active Directory upgrades, what version of Active Directory are you guys running right now?
Could have done a better job of that, mate.
That's the wrong graph.
Damn.
They obviously have the wrong slides in.
Lucky the slide isn't upside down at this point.
So let's just do a show of hands here, everybody. Who's got Active Directory version 2003? Anybody prior to 2003? Is that a curiosity? Any
Who's
NT4?
Got the guts to put their hand up? One man. I think that's almost worthy of maple syrup.
How about 2000? Any 2000 people here? You guys are mostly okay. Oh, there's one person in the back through 2000. 2008 R2. Or 2008, essentially the same thing. Yeah. Good stuff. Okay, so I'm thinking not bad for numbers. Most of you are there.
Who's fully deployed on 2012 already?
2012 to make controllers.
Off you go. Hey. You don't need to be here anymore. So yeah.
Good stuff. You guys are done? Well, I did have a graph.
Nah.
And what I found was basically about 60 to 70%-ish of people are on the most recent version of 2008 R2. I'm kind of theorizing this is going to end up being like the XP of servers, if you will. You know, XP is kicking around for a long time. We need to give you really good reasons for why you want to go to 2012, and hopefully throughout this past couple of days at TENS, you would have seen a number of very compelling reasons why you want to go to 2012 and 2012 R2.
What I think's funny there is that the four people that have got NT4 are probably just sitting there crying in the corner at this point.
They're curled up in the fetal position or something to that effect. So guess what? It's 2014 almost, people. It's 2013 to be exact. I confused my time zones there. Active Directory is about 14 years old. Woo! It came out in concept in 1999.
It's going to high school.
Yes, it's going to high school. I like that. Think back. Who here has a cell phone that they still had back from 1999? Anybody?
Still.
There's a couple of Nokias in the room. Yes, you're still working.
So maybe they need the free phone giveaway.
They need the free phone. That's it. So we do have a free phone to give away at the end if you pay close attention to that. Here's what my world looked like 14 years ago. This was my server room, and I was in the process of doing a deployment of Windows 2000. Did a lot of 2000 upgrades. I was hired as a consultant to do a number of different upgrades for a number of different customers. Lots of fun. You got to love these hardware requirements. 133 megahertz or higher processor, premium Pentium compatible CPU, a whopping 256 megabytes of RAM recommended.
Could you imagine how well that would have run Actua Soccer in the day?
You got it, man. 2 gigabytes of hard drive space, the minimum 1 gig free, everything else like that. Lovely, lovely fun. It was a good time. As Active Directories, when it used to be actually called .NET Server. Remember when we named everything .NET servers and .NET stuff and .NET this, .NET that? So my network, I don't know about you guys, how about this? You guys remember these from NT4, the big massive migrations that you had to go through? This was a single domain environment.
You're feeling good if you had one of them.
None of us had this. Then, you know, you got another environment, you need to have some more of them, 40,000 security principles, so you ended up with 2 domains with trust relationships. Do you remember how that thing worked? It was like, I trust,
You trust me, and then it breaks. That was how it worked, wasn't it?
No, because you could break it and then put it back in again really quick thinking it was going to work again.
That's right. And then randomly every 30 days or so it would break again, right? Yeah, it was good.
You log on in the direction of the arrow. You access resources against the arrow. If you have to think of trust and trusted, arrowhead, all these little tricks I remember from my old MCT days.
Yeah, and the old exam writers just loved that because they could screw you up so hard on the exam.
You got it, man.
But whatever happened, Bruno always got it wrong. No? Don't worry about it.
User domains with resource domains. I used to love these ones. People used to love putting these ones in place. All the user accounts up above, all different resource domains down below. I don't know how many of these things I've collapsed over my years. But then we have to go into very large multinationals, right?
Ugh.
The multiple master domain environment, multi-master domains. Ugh, I can just think of my Win servers overheating and exploding right now, trying to figure this all out.
But it's all too hard, man. And you know, you'd try to set this stuff up, and you'd try to get your arrowhead going in the direction of the trusted, and you thought, what's the easiest way for me to do this?
Let's just go to complete mess domain structure.
And leave before you need to migrate.
You got it.
So the next person has to deal with it.
And the best part was you documented everything for why you went down this path, right? Everything was all documented. All the server names, all the IP addresses,
In Notepad.
Yeah. So Active Directory basically solved a lot of issues when you came out to it. It was a great hierarchical naming structure that you could totally customize to your environment. Unfortunately, an awful lot of designs ended up being done based on politics as opposed to reason for why it was done because of misconceptions. And also it ended up possibly becoming completely overcomplicated. I remember this one structure that was completely mirroring the OU structure and the business unit structure and reporting structures of managers to different units and stuff. And then they had group policies all over the place. It took like 30 minutes to log into this thing. So generally speaking, we made it way too complicated. So before you even start talking about migration and talking about how to get up to the most current level, if you haven't already started the process yet, clean up and simplify your environment before you go. Active Directory and OU structures are for you as an administrator to be able to go off and to do different things. So basically, guess what? The party's over. If you're on the older versions, you must get off the older versions. 2015, I think, is when 2003 R2 extended support, 7-year support, goes out of date. And basically, you're going to be SOL to be able to get any kind of patches or updates from Microsoft. It's really, 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 really time to get off of what you're doing. So I'm curious to find out, this is the question, show of hands. Who here has designed their Active Directory from scratch and is still using it? Who is the designers of the Active Directory that they currently manage? Anybody?
Hey.
I'd say there's at least a dozen and change people in the room that still manage the same Active Directory that they designed.
Can we keep those hands up?
Everybody else.
Those hands up.
Who here inherited the Active Directory that they're now managing?
Oh.
Which should be everybody else, right? Now, for those 12 people that had the hands up originally, you documented everything for why you created the OU structures, what the group structure was, why you had them, and all the group. I used to have 700-page red books that I would go and refer to. I never wrote them. It was always some other consulting company that did it. They looked really good.
Did they actually write that, or did they just take a template and print it?
What I found out was they actually just photocopied the same damn book.
Awesome.
And, you know, bulk of it was all just simply copy of everything.
That's the way you do it.
Insert page here that had the stuff specific to that customer.
Also, the liberal use of this page has been intentionally left blank so that it appears bigger than it is.
You can charge more for that, right? You pay by the weight for what it is. So, first of all, why 2012? Well, first of all, you're here at TENS, Tech Ed New Zealand, and you've seen an awful lot of stuff already, 2012 R2. Here's just a couple of things that are 2012 specific that you should be aware of. And it also applies even if you're looking at this from the perspective of someone that's working in a 2008 R2 environment as well. First off, make your life easier. You're able to go in and to finally have a GUI interface to be able to do fine-grained password policies.
Yay.
You have a GUI interface to be able to go off and do
AD Recycle Bin.
AD Recycle Bin, thank
Yay.
You. AD Recycle Bin. Before that,
I'm actually
PowerShell.
Providing the excitement
yes.
in the room today.
You got it.
Because we know perfectly well that on our side of the world, no one claps or cheers whenever anything happens in a demo or otherwise.
Active
Directory. Yay, thank you. Let's have it.
Active Directory now has commandlets in PowerShell as opposed to having third parties provide them. We now have them in-house. Yes, that's almost worth a clap by itself. Mm-hmm. The level of automation you can do with that. I'm trying to pull it out. And Alan Birch will tell you that group policy is infinitely better with 2012 and 2012 R2 if you haven't followed the group policy biz blog that he writes. And so group policy updates are fantastic. It also sets the path straight and narrow to get ready for something that's called dynamic access control. Dynamic access control is something that you need to be aware of because it will also make your life easier, get rid of token bloat, and allow you to be able to come up with conditional expressions for access to resources that will simplify your life. It also is going to be messing with the most complex thing in your entire network, which is ACLs on every single file and directory. Don't be scared. Just gets you ready for it. When you're ready, go ahead and take on that project. The best part about this is, and this is the biggest thing that you have to be aware of, 2012 is the minimum bar of entry to safely virtualize your domain controllers. If you are virtualizing your domain controllers right
now. He's feeling good about that right now. Hands
yeah.
up.
Right. You are running completely unsupported if you are currently virtualizing your domain controllers and they are 2008 R2 and below, regardless of what hypervisor you're using.
And if you are leaving the company under bad circumstances, just remember to restore that snapshot from 3 years ago before you leave.
I didn't say that. I didn't hear that. I don't know what you're talking about. But really, the reason why you want to go to 2012 is because it is your entry point, your on-ramp to the 2012 R2 and beyond future for where we're going. I talked about this in storage. Basically, 2012 and 2012 R2 is how we're getting new innovations in quicker into the cycle to be able to use it. We've decoupled a lot of the dependencies to be able to use these new technologies. You got to get in the 2012 fast lane to be able to get ready to go. So, what are some things, some guidelines? You're all set, you're all bought in, you want to go ahead and do an Active Directory update. What are some things you got to worry about? First off, if you have 2008, 2008 R2, you're going to want to look at trying to minimize the number of domains you currently have. You're going to want to take a look at trying to clean things up in your OU structure. You're going to want to take a look at dusting off those red books of documentation about how your current environment is set up. If you're going to look at trying to simplify and consolidate your domain structure, ADMT, the migration tool, has been deprecated, only exists and works on 2008 R2 and can only be installed on 2008 R2. Mm. There's a KB article that talks about it, 27.5.35.60, and it's a very stunning, long article that basically says doesn't run on 2012.
It's his favorite article. He reads it every day.
So if you're going to be doing this, make sure that you're doing ADMT stuff from a 2008 R2 environment. Now, that might be a bit of an onerous task, I understand. However, the easier and cleaner you make your environment, the easier it's going to be to go off into your migrations and upgrades. It's not impossible. It just means it's going to extend out what we're going to be doing. We're going to be migrating a single domain environment as the easiest one to be able to show you how to do this. Mm-hmm. Second up, if you don't enact change and you do the same actions for your deployments as you did previously, you're not going to take advantage of the new stuff. It's going to be getting the same problems over and over again. Look at core server implementations and core server installs, especially with 2012 and 2012 R2. RSAT tools to manage domain controllers, the server manager tool to manage domain controllers, you don't even know if it's got a GUI or not, and you don't care.
Unless
server core is the way to go.
Unless you're Australian, because we're a simple folk. And when we were getting ready to bring out server core in 2008, we used to get so much stick from server administrators. Why do you need a GUI on there? You're not hardcore. You should be able to do everything through the command line, blah, 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 blah. And we took this over and over again. And we went back to those same people and went, server core. They went, fantastic. They installed it. And they went, where's my GUI? I can't do it, man. We can't win.
The good thing is that you're obviously able to go in and remove the GUI after the fact if you want to. I do suggest you test it first. Make sure your apps and backup programs work with it. But server core is the way to go with significantly less patches and less binaries on the disks to be able to worry about patching. RODCs, redoing domain controllers, phenomenal solutions to be able to simplify your replication traffic, make your environment more secure, figure out where you can use them. Note of caution, you cannot use an RODC on a physical location where there's also an Exchange server located. It cannot use an RODC as part of its directory, and it'll have to go across the wire to do all of its different directory lookups. So just be aware of that. If you don't have a domain control, if you don't have an Exchange server in your particular office location, you can possibly consider using an RODC environment, which is definitely very, very good. Go virtual, go virtual, go virtual. I am absolutely satisfied and confident in saying that you can go with a 100% virtualized domain controller environment, provided you're running 2012, hypervisor running it, and also you're running a 2012 virtual domain controller, because you've gotten rid of all of your 2003 domain controllers. So we'll talk more about that, how to deploy that, and get her going. But I think you're probably tired of watching us two comedians up on stage. Let's show you some demo. The first demo we've got to show you is actually the first step. The first step is basically get a Windows 2012 server into as a domain member, into your domain as a member server, get the binaries installed on it, and then DC promo it to get it started. Go ahead, man, kick her off.
Cool, thank you. All right, so just to give you a little bit of context, at the moment we have a domain environment that consists of only two DCs because you can only run so many VMs off a single laptop, even if it has got SSDs. And at the moment we have a 2003 R2 domain controller and a 2008 R2 domain controller in this particular domain. So the first thing I want to do is get my first 2012 domain controller into the domain and then get all of the information replicated across to it. So what you can see here is, of course, the 2012 version of Server Manager. Now, I can do this either through Server Manager or through PowerShell if I want to. So the first one that we will deploy will be directly through the GUI. So from Server Manager here, what I'm going to choose to do is add a role or feature. And of course, being the person I am, I'm going to skip that page by default because you don't want to read it. Why would we read anything? We only ever read stuff when it goes wrong. All right, well, then you get into role-based or feature-based installation, and we will choose which of these servers we're going to install onto. It's selected this one by default. One of the cool things I like here is the ability for us to select the virtual hard disk. So if we want to, we can point to an offline VHD and essentially mount it, put the role inside it, and then dismount it again. Lovely little feature. I like that. What we'll do now is we'll just move ahead, and we'll choose to install Active Directory domain services, which will then tell me that I have a whole bunch of other stuff that I need to put on as well. As you can see, pretty simple there. Hit the next button. Don't need any extra features to go along with it. And it then tells me exactly what Active Directory domain services is, because, of course, I have no idea what it is. That's why I'm installing it. Sorry, man. I'll choose to restart if I need to and hit install. Now, what this is doing is it's putting the binaries down, and we're not going to require a reboot for this. And once the binaries are down on the machine, we can then promote it to a domain controller. DC promo.
Well, one thing I'll point out, you could actually do exactly what he's doing right now from a Windows 8 client with RSAT tools. You
Absolutely.
Don't even have to be logged on to that member server. You can do this from a Windows 8 client system, or 8.1 if it was a R2 server that you're talking to right now.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to effectively DC promo this, but we're not DC promoing anymore, are we?
Well, DC promo is still around.
Only just. It's
around enough to basically fire off an error message that says it's no longer around. Please go use Server Manager. The one thing that is no longer around is Sysprep. not cis prep, what am I saying? AD prep.
He's just announced something that we weren't expecting him to.
AD prep, and AD prep 32 and AD prep 64-bit versions. AD prep is basically gone, disappeared, is now simply part of the wizard interface. It goes through and does that for you. You obviously are going to require a bit of a schema update to be able to get a 2012 domain controller in there. However, it will go ahead and test all the prerequisites logically as you go through this wizard. So now the neat thing here is we fix something. Look very closely here. The default operation in the past that caused the most number of support calls at Microsoft for DC Promo was the fact that the default option was make a new domain in a new forest for DC Promo, when the most commonly used option is actually make a new domain controller in an existing domain in an existing forest. So at least we have it right now with this environment here, with the way it's asking the questions.
What I like here too is that, you know, it's putting up the fact that we're going to be a global catalog front and center to me, which is kind of nice, and that I can choose the site name I want from here. What I will also need to do, of course, is put in my DSRM password, so I'll do that while we're all here. All right, and then moving on, not taking a read-only domain controller here, move on from the DNS options. And what I like from here also is that I can choose exactly which domain controller I want to replicate from if we're in a bit of a geographic situation here.
It also is able to choose install from media. However, you cannot do that unless you have a system state backup from a 2012 domain controller to use as the source. That's why you have to go through and do over-the-wire replication.
Just choosing my files here and folders that they're going to sit in. And what I like at the end here is I can view the script. So this is what I've actually chosen inside this particular wizard in a PowerShell format, so I can then extract that out and use that later on if I need to. So that's quite a cool little feature. Alrighty. Now the cool thing here is it's going to go ahead and do all the prereq checks for me. So gone are the days where you say, right, let's go and promote the domain controller, and it says, sorry, you haven't run forest prep. And you go, damn.
Sorry, you don't have enterprise min access. Sorry, you don't have domain admin access. At least now it goes through and does all those ticky box checks and produces you a nice little report to be able to go off and do it.
And a great thing is if you haven't done your schema upgrade and haven't done any of your prep stuff, it gets integrated into this wizard. So it's not going to bomb you out. It's going to continue to go, do everything that needs to be done, and then get you to where you need to be. First prereq check takes a little bit of a while, and then once that's done and ready to go, we can start promoting this into the domain.
Sweet.
Cool. As I said, once it's done and ready to go.
Watch the little slidey bar across the top. You know what? We don't need to watch this. I can continue on if you like.
Absolutely. And then, does anyone want to see a further slidey bar after this has done its prereq check? How much of your life have you actually lost watching a blue bar move across the screen? Too much. Yes, exactly.
Oh, it depends. If you are a consultant, potentially you are paid on the hourly basis, so you might want to watch the slidey bar. Unfortunately, you guys are all donating your time to come and watch us, so we're going to move on as this goes. There's the report. Now,
sorry. We've only got 60 minutes.
That's true.
Do you really want to look at the thing that says, hey, NT4 ACLs are a little bit different to the way they work now? Gee, really? I've only seen that a few times.
That warning message that is up on the screen is very important, though. The fact that the default algorithm that it's using for cryptography for establishing sessions basically is no longer supported with 2012. It's actually no longer supported with 2008R2. Domain controllers, and to be aware that you may have some older clients, or you might have some Linux distros or NAS devices that basically will no longer be able to talk to your domain controller. So that is something to be aware of. However, there is a registry patch that's listed there that you can override that setting to allow them again at great harm to your security of your network. I will just say that. So I'm just going to let you can nurse that along and reboot that guy when it comes up.
Absolutely will.
Okay, let's get on with the architectural stuff here. First off, you have 2003. There's a bunch of you that had 2003. Can we do an upgrade or a migration? Upgrade or migration?
Who says upgrade?
Anybody?
Who says migration?
A couple people.
Who doesn't care? Who's only here because they had nothing better to do?
So, first off, x86, 2003. There's a very small unicorn population of 64-bit 2003 implementations out there. For some reason, you managed to find one for your demos. But 2003 typically is going to be x86. There is no direct upgrade path to be able to run the 64-bit binary to turn it into a 64-bit domain controller. So that's not possible. That's why migration basically is the way that we're going to be doing this. We're doing what I call the shell game. We have 2003 up and running. It's already there. We're bringing this new guy in. We're going to promote him into a new domain controller. We're going to shuffle some roles back and forth. We're going to add in some additional ones for protection. Then we're going to take this guy out and shoot him out back. So here's the flow. This is what I call a shell migration. Other people call it the swing migration. There's a bunch of different terms for it. Basically, you all are going to plan this out, right? You cannot do this in your production environment in 60 minutes. We are doing it in 60 minutes. Do not do this in 60 minutes. You will do the proper planning. You will do the proper number of documentation, schema, committee updates, and membership discussions and stuff like that, and get that all out of the way. Then you're going to go basically prepare your source server, do some backups. You did a backup of the server, right? Well, you then got to go ahead and prepare your destination server.
Up.
As a member server, you're going to bring them up, potentially a temporary server name, potentially temporary IP address. You don't necessarily need to assume the new computer name, the old computer name, on the new computer name. You can. There's some more extra steps that you can do. I personally don't do it because there's different ways you can get around that with simply naming conventions. Migration-wise, basically, we're going to make it a domain controller, which we just did. We're going to manually migrate some DNS server settings if there were any to migrate, but we didn't actually have any DNS settings to migrate in our environment for what we did. But basically, DNS migration, there's a little migration utility that we'll show you in the second session for how that works. Transfer some FISMO roles. If we needed to, go ahead and change the IP address and assume that IP address, do some verification steps, and then finally retire and take the server out back and shoot them. How are we doing there, buddy? Looking good? Coming up?
We have come back up, and I'm just going to sign on now.
No problem. You keep on going. I got a couple more slides left. So first off, bringing on your first 2012 domain controller, there are a couple of options that you can do. We are just doing the let's go and move them up next to them for a shell game. You can, if you have 2002, do an in-place upgrade. You can take the media, you can mount the media, you can burn it to DVD or to USB stick and basically go off and do your installs if you want to, and do an in-place upgrade. And in fact, we went ahead and did that with one of our systems. I thought I'd share that with you as we're waiting for some stuff.
Are we allowed to show that? Because that's some pretty good technology we got there.
Okay, so we managed to score some really sweet demo equipment to record this video on. This is a ultra top secret Intel Core i7000 for being able to do this as fast as we are doing right here. So this is literally put it in the source files. Running setup, going through the process of actually upgrading the system in place, that is the domain controller, and go through the various copies and reboots and everything else to be able to be ready to go.
Wouldn't it be good if it went this fast?
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, when we designed this, we were actually going to show this from scratch.
And then I saw how long it was. It's 40 minutes, which basically meant that you would see nothing else except for these progress bars. So at least we thought we'd share them with you. Here it is for the first reboot.
Yep, it's getting ready.
It's still getting ready.
Mm. It takes me a while to get ready.
Yeah. But then it reboots again.
Mm.
And it's still getting ready.
I think it is getting ready.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll tell us it's getting ready.
Oh,
hang on, it's rebooted again.
And it's coming up one last time, yeah. I think. It should be getting ready now.
It should be.
Here it comes.
There we go.
Hey,
oh, now we'll wait.
Login prompt coming up now.
Now you think about how fast this is going, how long we're sitting here waiting for. But it's getting ready.
Eventually, it'll actually get to the point where it can log on. You'll see it log on.
That's when it's ready.
There it is. There you go. Server manager. It's all undone. So that took about 2 minutes, when in actual fact, it's over 45-ish minutes in length for a simple domain controller with an Active Directory with only like 50 objects in it. So it obviously takes a lot longer. It was bigger. Our first question. So the question is, what do you think? Is that a good idea to do? You can just put in the disk and go ahead and do an in-place upgrade, or would you do this migration shell game? It sounds dirty to me, yes. I'll give you my consultant answer. It depends.
Yeah, it depends how lucky you
are. That's where the maple syrup for user. Come on down and grab that. It really does depend. I am not a huge fan of an in-place upgrade because it brings over all sorts of legacy stuff that you never understood why your junior admin went ahead and did registry changes to how things were doing and you had no idea that they were done. If you do a fresh install right next to it and then you simply follow this kind of shell game path, you're going to get a nice, clean, pristine Active Directory with all of the same data. But that's me. And it depends on the project. If you have absolutely no budget, no hardware, and you're pressed for time, and you like watching progress bars,
a lot of them,
you can go ahead and do an in-place upgrade. Absolutely. And it absolutely is supported. Believe it or not, the upgrade process is one of the most tested functionalities of any type of software upgrades that we do, is the in-place upgrade to make sure that it works. So we still have to go through and do some NTDS util migration of stuff. Are you ready to be able to do that yet? Or you want to do some PowerShell deployment? What do you want to do?
I wouldn't mind doing some PowerShell deployment, actually.
Okay. So we showed the GUI interface, being able to do a deploy. We all know that we have to have more than one domain controller up and running. So we're going to do our second domain controller deploy. And you're going to use PowerShell this time. This was a copy of that script that came out from the first automated install from the wizard interface to be able to do a DC promo.
Yes, yeah, so we literally just took that out. And we've left it here sort of with the carriage returns in there so you can see what it looks like. But we're actually going to run it off a single line, which we've done down here. So I'll literally just highlight that and choose to fire that off. And the first thing it's going to do is ask for the credentials that are needed to actually get this put into the corp domain. So I'll just put in my credentials here. Because it's always, it's always stressful when you have to do this. Actually, when I was working for Lonely Planet...
Keep on typing.
All right. I had a nice little story to tell. When I was working for Lonely Planet, this is the safe mode one, by the way, they actually had to create another domain administrator account for me called Administrator, because that was the way I always misspelt it. All right, so that's off and running now, so we'll just let that go. It's ticking along quite nicely. So, and basically, we'll have ourselves another domain controller in here fairly soon.
So this is very much a cooking show style for how we're presenting this. Again, you will not be able to do this in your production environment in 60 minutes. I do not recommend it. And you've all said that you're going to be doing your planning ahead of time. So that's good. Cool. Can we do the NTDS util or
we
come back to that?
Can.
Right, man?
Alrighty. So now that we've got this third domain controller coming in place and we've upgraded our 2008 R2 domain controller, the next thing we need to worry about is that 2003 R2 DC, because at the moment, that's holding all of our FSMO roles.
Oh, wait. Who can name all five FSMO roles?
Let's do it.
Nice. Very nice.
Yes. You were hoping we'd actually get you to do it, weren't you?
Flexible single masters of operation. They must be migrated over to a known machine, which also means that you need to move the post-it notes that you have stuck to the front of the servers to the new server when it's there. But I do not know as of yet how you move a post-it note to a virtual machine yet. So we're working on it. So this is a command line, NTDS util. Obviously, go in and say you're going to be choosing the roles. You have to connect up to the specific server that you want to modify. So you go in the connections menu. You say connect to server DC3. That is the new member server that's now been promoted into a domain controller, and it's already up and done and running. One second, Oren. And then it comes in and says, okay, now you want to do is transfer the things, and he's looking at his crib note seat on the side to remember the names of all of the flexible single masters of operations. Naming master, schema master, RID master.
If I can get this all done PDC. Without a single mistake, do I get to chug the syrup?
No, you don't get to chug the syrup. You're going to screw it up anyway, so.
No, I'm not going to screw it up, man.
Oren, you had a question or a commentary? So the question is, can't you use the new PowerShell commands to be able to do that with just one command? There is a PowerShell commandlet that is available, generated by the community, to be able to do this. I have never tried the 2012 one as of yet, so now you've just given me a challenge to figure that out. Yeah? Well,
we knew you'd want to see it via the command line more than you'd want to see it via PowerShell.
So we're doing it with the old-fashioned school tools. But I'll have to go and take a look. Honestly, I haven't tried it. I'm an old school guy.
Hasn't replicated yet. I jumped the gun a little bit.
So, close the window? Did you close the window with all the info?
Nope.
Oh, you just did.
Hang on.
Man, what I wanted to show you was as he was typing each command with NTDS util, there you go. If you have Zoom it, you can actually see that it lists off the name. DC1 is the current owner. DC1 current owner. DC1 current owner.
We got a failure there of contacting. That's what went wrong there. No worries. All right, just leave that with me and move on, and I'll get it sorted out.
Well, you better get it sorted out because it's kind of a dependency, buddy.
Just a bit.
Yes. So again, we did this session in Tech at North America at 75 minutes long. We had to cut back information to make it fit inside 60 minutes long, and it was stressed for time at 75. So we're trying every single shortcut possible to be able to go and to get her done. What does your NTDS util tell you, man? Don't use the GUI interface.
Yeah, it's just telling me that I've got couldn't contact the role holder, so I've just got a presumably got an issue with connectivity.
Okay, well, let me show you some slides. Remember how I said that it is not advisable or supported to go into virtualize your 2008 R2 domain controllers currently? If you are, you can be in a problem. The main reason why is because of the lovely dreaded possibility of creating a USN bubble, otherwise known as a tear or a folding of the space-time continuum. What can basically happen is that you have a point in time when a snapshot was taken for a particular domain controller. The replication engine of Active Directory is going to go ahead and basically have a USN value for that particular point in time for the Active Directory database. It's also going to have a RID pool that is used to create new objects and new SIDs to be able to identify unique security principles inside that domain. If you go ahead and at a different time you go ahead and add 100 new users, you've incremented your USN value to 200, let's say, in this particular example, and you've replicated and sent those settings to say, hey, my current high watermark value, USN 200, is now current with my other domain controller number 1A, on the other side, the destination. So I now know that DC2 now knows that DC1 USN value is 200. Good to go. Everything's all fine. Then you get the co-op intern student that has been somehow given administrative control of the virtualization interface and applied a snapshot to that particular DC and then restarts the server. What happens is it rolls back the USN to the point in time where it was, to 100, because it knows no better, because it's virtualization, and its RID pool is still 500 to 1,000. But all those things in the middle, 100 objects that were created, and modified as well, basically disappear as far as the SIDs that were there. But they still exist in the other 25 domain controllers that are out there that are currently on the proper space-time continuum of where things happen to sit. So what happens is basically you go off and you create 150 more new users, in which case you now have a USN high watermark value of 250. In which case, you go ahead and you do your replication with domain control number 2, and it says, oh, well, I already know of your last 100, because your USN value is 200, so just give me the 50 I don't know about. So the 50 go across, and they're all fine. But you now have this weird space-time continuum missing structure of the 100 objects that were created, and you also have 100 new objects that are created with duplicate SIDs in that environment. So basically, you're in trouble. US rollback was not detected. 50 users go across two domains. All the other users are either on one or the other domain controller, and 100 security principles now exist with incorrect things, and you basically have conflicting SIDs. Oops, not good. So basically, we have a fix for that, for the way that's done. Yes, sir, in the blue. The question is there any way to rebuild the USN? And the answer is no. Basically, what you're going to have to do to fix that USN bubble is revert your Active Directory back with authoritative restores back to other areas, and you're going to pay Microsoft PFEs a lot of money to come and fix stuff for you to be able to get this going. USN bubble is just really nasty. You do not want this to exist. And the funny thing is you usually don't even know what's happened. The scary part is you don't know what's happened. So picture this scenario. You have 10 domain controllers. You have one guy that rolls back, and during that rollback period of maybe a week, there was 5 people that had their password changed. Maybe you were lucky and no new user accounts were created. Just 5 password changes happened or something like that. Now what's going to happen is when the user logs on, let's say 9 times out of 10 in a random world, you're going to be getting one of the domain controllers that are current and up to date, and the new password is going to work. That 1 time out of 10 when they get that other domain controller, their password's wrong because it's the old password, not the new password that was changed to. They say, bad password, and then they... Pardon me? It's always the CXOs and CEOs that it happens to. And of course, they call up the help desk to get it fixed and say, oh, well, hey, just reboot your machine, try again, see if it works. It works. Okay, great. Problem solved. Thanks for calling. And it just keeps on going on unnoticed for a while. And so you end up with an issue of USN bubble, which is just, relatively speaking, nasty.
Fixed.
Yep. The question is, when is it not detect the USN rollback? That's generally speaking because of a time difference. It's been around for so long that it notices that basically it's gone over its tombstone interval that's out there, and basically it's old, not good. In this case, I'm going to show you how it's fixed with 2012. But basically, you're going to be stuck with a USN rollback. In a lab environment, not so big because you're working in a lab. In production environments, where you had the big problems. Yeah. Yeah. How does it not pick up its USN? Actually, I don't know. It's designed to pick it up because it's a bad state, right? Yeah. Let me show you how it's fixed in 2012 and what we've done. First off, we do not alter the replication engine because that would introduce a huge, massive change in compatibility with all the other domain controllers that are out there and a massive amount of regression testing. So we don't change the replication engine. What we've done instead is simply brought stuff up to say, hey, I want to check and make sure that something has not changed since last time I booted. And that's called the VMGenID attribute. That is now stored and written to the Active Directory and is created by the machine's hypervisor and stored in ACPI BIOS as a number. And basically, whenever it goes in and boots up and looks and says, hey, last time I booted and looked at my Active Directory domain database, my VMGen ID was 3. Looking at it now, 3. Okay, good. I can keep on going. Nothing's happened. If something did happen because a snapshot was applied, the USN value is going to be different because the USN value basically says, oh, that's actually a 5. No, it says I'm a 3 up here. Well, that's not right. I don't trust myself anymore. Dump the database, pretend like I'm a new domain controller, and bring back all these replications back into my environment again. So it has a little safety guard to it. You're telling me here that you're good to go for NTDS util? It's mm-hmm. done?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to jump back into this in just a second.
Okay, so now I'm on the domain controller that we've just... promoted via PowerShell, just to give you an idea of how many domain controllers we now have. I'll just give that a quick refresh, and we're not seeing DC4 for some reason, even though we saw it on the other machine. We're just waiting for some replication to finish happening there. Basically, what we want to do now is we want to take this DC and we want to clone it into Active Directory. So the way we're going to do that is... we got a new
group. We didn't talk about cloning yet, though.
Oh, didn't we?
No, I was just about to get that with a slide.
All right, sorry. Well, do you want to go and talk about that first?
I think
or
I
do you want me
first.
To start the demotion of the 2003 box? The
cleanups afterwards.
Okay.
Okay. So hang on a sec. First of all, the cloning. Using this concept of VMGenID, it's altered when you apply a snapshot or when a new machine is created. It gets a new VMGenID on the system. And basically what happens is now we can use this when we're doing cloning, where we simply identify... let's go and identify a known good machine. It's an Active Directory domain controller in our environment. We want to use that as our new staging solution for new domain controller deployments. Let's put that computer account into an Active Directory group that allows us to say this is a trusted, good cloning domain controller. Once that's done, you then go ahead and you run some PowerShell commands against that machine. Just 1 second, sir. Run some PowerShell commands against that machine to get it ready. And basically it goes in, it cleans stuff out with the Active Directory, it goes in, leaves the source database, it knows what it is, sanitizes it, and basically shuts down with a sysprep. It then is able to be exported and then deployed and cloned as many times as you want. It then comes up and boots up in this kind of a process. NTDS is gonna start in that machine, it's gonna obtain the current VMGen ID, it's gonna check the value on the local box to say, is it different than what's written in my Active Directory database? Then says, yes, it is different, go ahead and reset it and discard the RID pool. It doesn't trust any of the RIDs that it had gotten previously because they probably have been used by this point in time. It then goes in and checks to say, hey, does this clonable config XML file, which is created by the PowerShell scripts, exist in the proper directory or on a little USB key? Yes, it does. Go ahead and start the cloning process. No, it doesn't. Something's gone wrong. Basically, don't bother continuing to go and just kind of hang out. In this case, we're doing a cloning example, so that file is going to exist. If it does, it runs DC Promo internally to do what's known as a fixed clone, which then goes in and reads that clone config.xml file, and then tells us, hey, here is the IP address of the FISMO owner for PDC emulator. Here's the guy you have to go and contact to say, am I authorized to be able to become a clone and continue to boot? And will you please issue me a new computer account name and also a new SID to be able to identify myself as a unique machine during the boot up process? So it goes in, configures the network, locates the PDC, does the appropriate calls. That guy goes in and says, hey, are you in the group? Yes, you're in the proper group. Go ahead and make a new object for you for that new particular computer account. Pass that information back over to you. Generates a new computer name, an account name, and password. Passes it back. This guy goes ahead and applies a new name and password to the local machine. Puts yourself inside the proper site. And then finishes off the DC promo with an install from Media, which is the local database of the Active Directory, to save time for the replication. Go ahead and run any additional sysprep provider requirements to basically finish off the sysprep process, and then reboot. You now have a new domain controller with a new computer account, new computer name, and an Active Directory database that is not going to be corrupted inside your environment. Phenomenal way of rapidly deploying domain controllers as opposed to simply automating DC promo and waiting for stuff to happen. Looking at Macca now. You set?
Yeah, we're going to need to demote our 2003 domain controller
okay,
first,
so let's
before
go
we can go ahead and do
out.
This.
Let's go and clean him out first
okay.
and come back.
So we're on the 2003 box now. We're going to get rid of this old 2003 domain controller, which is going to then uplift us to a position where we can actually start cloning things. So I'll just hit DC promo. We've all seen this before. At the moment, I'm on a functional level of 2003.
Right.
Okay. It's now telling me we're a global catalog server. 2008.
2008.
With one domain controller in place.
Right.
With up to, of 2012 level. So I'm going to hit OK. Now, I'm not going to tick this server as the last domain controller in the domain by accident because we really wouldn't want to do that.
That's really nasty to do that.
Hit next. Now we need the local administrator password.
I bet you did not stop NetLogon, did you?
I did, actually.
Oh. You remembered this
time. Oh, and it failed because I turned off NetLogon. Whoops.
You might need to restart now.
Let's just go and do NetLogon.
There's a lovely functionality feature that basically times out with NetLogon when you're doing this, and it waits and waits and waits and waits and waits and finally fails, and then you have to go through and hit back and forward again to do it. I'm anxious to see if this one's going to work. I don't think it is. You're going to have to restart the guy. We shall see. What could also happen there is it would stop and say, wait, wait, wait. Some stuff from a DNS has not replicated off of me yet. You can't continue, and it blocks you. Mm. So we know replication happened, therefore it's going to go in and do it.
Yeah, it's blocking me. All right.
You're going to have to do a restart, man.
Cool.
The joys of accelerating beyond 75 minutes for where it's at. So there was a question up here in the front with the gentleman in the brown jacket. Phenomenal question. The question is the VM Gen ID only available with a 2012 server, or is it available with other manufacturers? And the answer is, it is available with other manufacturers, provided they have implemented VM Gen ID. To my knowledge, I don't know if VMware has gotten around to doing it yet.
Yes, they have.
They have?
Yes, as of 5.1.
5.1, they support VM Gen ID. Because trust me, we want to make sure that anyone's virtualizing is not going to be screwing up their Active Directory. So at first, when the 2012 timeframe was around, they hadn't implemented it as of yet, but we made the specs available for anyone. Basically, whenever the VM has a snapshot applied to it, the hypervisor goes in and basically tweaks the VM Gen ID to be different. And whenever a new machine is imported into a hypervisor solution, the VM Gen ID gets tweaked so that it also is going to be changed to have that basic check that's in there. So good question. Hope you enjoy the maple syrup. Still good. How are we doing, mate?
Yeah, we're not doing as well as we could, actually.
Oh, lovely.
Unfortunately.
Well, good thing I had a slide up here. Maybe I'll talk about...
Yep, just talk for a moment.
Some more clones. I can wave my hands around a bit. I don't know. Cloning, yes. But wait, didn't we forget about something? Yes, we did forget about something, and that is cleaning up the old stuff, which is what we're trying to do now. So as you can see, this is very order specific. That you have to do. To recap, new guy brought in place. I'll take your question in 1 second, sir. New guy brought in place member server, promoted to become domain controller, still 2003 functional level for the forest and the domain. There had to be a schema update that happens in the background that gets done by the DC promo process within the server manager wizard. Checks all your credentials and makes sure it's all good. Then, if we let that sit and percolate and not try to do this in 60 minutes, you then do a nice peaceful transfer of the roles across. The problem then becomes, and you'll be facing this in your production environment, is you have to wait for the convergence of replication to take place so that all the domain controllers know that those FISMOs are now being held on that new box, still in 2003 mode. You can't switch your 2003 mode to 2012 mode until all your legacy domain controllers are gone, in case you didn't know that. So that's why we have to basically get rid of all of our 2003 domain controllers. You can bring up more 2012 domain controllers, but they still have to keep on running in your older mode of domain and forest functional level at the very end. Once that's done, then you can basically, now the roles have been moved over, the DNS zones have been replicated, the domain controllers now basically converge with replication. You can then go and do a DC promo to demote 2003 domain controller, and it will cack and throw an error if DNS is not finished replicating. The issue that we've hit right now is we've gone too fast, and it looks to me like we are having replication issues between the NTDS util moving the FISMO roles over to the other side, and we can't actually demote the guy out of it. And I'm watching him furiously go on the machine there as I continue to take some more questions from the crowd.
Oh, I know what's happened.
Oh. So he's asking basically about the difference in replication for the sysvol and how it uses it. Right now, in 2003 mode, just moving it over, it just continues to work in that same fashion. There is a prescriptive guidance on TechNet about how to switch from the old way of doing replication between the domain controllers to the new way once 2003 is out of the way.
Okay.
But you can continue to use that old way of doing stuff if you wanted to, but I wouldn't recommend it.
All right.
The new one.
The issue is obvious. Do not remain connected to the external network at whatever nomadics.com is, because that will cause DNS issues. Right, yeah, which means I probably need to just make sure that it hasn't happened across the board. And, of course, it has.
I thought you ran all these machines in an isolated network, dude.
I did, but for some reason or other, they've decided to turn on their NICs again, which is really interesting.
I'm glad these guys are... It's a phenomenal troubleshooting session that we're having right now.
Yeah, it's good, eh? All right.
So, hypothetically, if you transferred all the FISMO roles to a domain controller which was connected to a live DNS server, like this gentleman over here has just done, and that machine happens to disappear, what would happen? Oh, you know, you'd want to make sure that you took the proper planning to have a backup to be able to bring everything back again. But ideally, what you're trying to do is, as we're doing here, is we're bringing up multiple domain controllers at the same time. So you'd have additional 2012 domain controllers, and obviously you would not put the sticky notes on the same server as we are right now. This is pretty demonstration environment. You know, there's obviously certain ones that cannot coexist in the same role. You want to spread them around and make sure that they're properly represented inside your Active Directory design. More than likely, your new Active Directory design hierarchically for where DCs are placed is going to stay the same. The difference is you're going to have a new box brought in, shuffle, shuffle, and then the old box disappears. The most complicated one that we're doing is the very first one. Once the very first one is done, bringing up the other guys and getting rid of the old ones is dirt simple. Like, it's literally just DC promo, get rid of the guy. DC promo, get rid of the guy. Might get a bit complex if you want to assume the same IP address, but even that is, in 2012, is simply adding a second IP address to the NIC, and that's it, with the restart of the services. Way at the back over there. Fully meshed network with multiple WAN links, and you've got domain controllers in each of those different locations. How would you go about approaching doing this particular upgrade? I would be doing the shell game approach for the very first guy, where your best networking connectivity is and where your FISMO roles are located, and do that on site and ready to go. You could do the additional ones out in the field because they are going to be replicating within their own site with the other guys if you wanted to. Or you could do them also local to that main one, shut them down, ship them off, and bring them up again on the other side. It depends really on how you want to handle the administrative task of getting them all up and going. I'm sorry, I'll repeat that for the recording. In the unlikely event that they are virtualized and absolutely unsupported. Yes, sir, continue. In the unlikely event that they are virtual, will there be any issues with vMotion? I have never initiated a vMotion action before because I work for Microsoft. I would have to say you'd have to contact your VMware representative on that one.
Nice.
That's called a deflect the question. Yes, sir. Yeah. So great question. Saying with the new VM Gen ID attribute for the machine coming out, is that something that could be leveraged by other applications that are out there? The answer is yes, if they wanted to. As far as I know, it's not currently leveraged by anybody else except for Active Directory because it is probably the most sensitive replication-intensive database that you happen to have inside your environment. So that's where she'd be. Man, you've got smoke coming off your fingers for everything that's going on right now.
Yes, I have a tombstone lifetime issue now. Virtual domain controller, huh?
You know what? While he's still working on that, let me talk about some of the new stuff. So, first off, some of the things you can do. Drop your GUI on your new machines as soon as possible. If you haven't already played with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 with the RSAT tools, go out, install, deploy, use. If you're not using RSAT tools on your server environments that are running 2012 right now, you are missing out badly. It is the absolute optimal bomb to be able to go off and to use to manage your machines remotely. I never use our RDP connections to my servers anymore if I have the option of doing it all through RSAT, because I can do it all through RSAT. So why would I bother with a logging on interactively to the system? Dropping the GUI can even be done remotely using the RSAT tools if you wanted to. And you can even script it and drop the GUI on 100 servers at once if you wanted to using PowerShell. So basically, with a core implementation, you're going down to about a gig in size as far as the OS files are concerned. Minimal installation, easier to secure, easier to manage. You don't have lovely Internet Explorer causing you issues and security issues on your system. It has reduced attack surface. And really, by 2012, by default, out of the box, when you turn it on and join it to the domain, it is set up to go ahead and to be remotely managed by the RSAT tools. Some AD recycle bin goodness. This is already available on 2008 R2. Anyone here running 2008 R2 and does not have the AD recycle bin turned on? One person. It's not that difficult to turn on. It is a you can't turn it off effect, but it's not that difficult to turn on. It is probably the biggest thing that could save your bacon, easiest with Active Directory, as opposed to having to do an authoritative restore. And getting an email like this, oops, I just deleted the sales OU. Oh, I didn't mean to, I only had one cup of coffee today. Well, this would be easily done by now, instead of having to type in the PowerShell commands, by simply going into the AD recycle bin and Active Directory with the GUI interface and restoring those objects back. Very, very simple to do. Password policies. This used to be one of the biggest sticking points for the CXOs and CIOs people were talking about for having multiple password policies. Well, in 2008 R2, we gave the ability to set up password settings objects, which allowed you to associate groups of people that could have different level passwords. So you can be fun with your friends and assign a password policy, 27 characters minimum password, change every 10 days, remember the last 100 passwords ever used, and apply that to the executives group if you wanted to. And then you pick up your pink slip and walk out the door. Complexity basically means people are going to circumvent it. They're going to write it down on a post-it note. The old way of doing it used to be make a new domain, make a new domain, make a new domain. That's why a lot of domains existed. The new way of doing it is simply to use a PSO, which is very, very simple to do. Some other stuff you can do, paving the way in the future, is this concept of dynamic access control. As I mentioned, think about this. Desired access policy. You're sitting down. Picture this and get your head around this. For access to financial information that has a high business impact value, a user must be a finance department employee with a high security clearance and must use a managed device registered with the finance department. You would probably have to put up at least a dozen different global groups that were manually managed to be able to satisfy this one thing, if that was the policy you're trying to implement. Now you can have centrally managed access from control from Active Directory to set up these policies for the ifs and the ands. You have an easy way to resolve end user permissions to test it to make sure that it works. You also have the ability to pre-stage and simulate these effects of changes before you implement it to make sure you don't screw stuff up. And you have the ability to automatically identify and classify data on the fly to be able to say, this contains these keywords as far as documents, flag that as a high importance. This person has an attribute that says department equals finance, give them full access. This person has a second attribute that says student or intern, give them read-only access. Combine those together and basically you would dynamically choose if the person has access to those individual files. No changes that you need to require for group memberships for any of this. Phenomenal stuff for how this works. Basically, it's claims-based authentication or user claims that can take place. You also have device claims to say if devices were managed or not, and also finally having different resource properties on the individual server to make that access policy. Fantastic stuff that's there. Last slide on access control for how this works. Basically, as I mentioned from a recap, you have to have Active Directory. It has to be 2012 to be able to do this. Dynamic access control only works on 2012 file servers as well. You need to be able to set up your claim definitions. They're stored centrally. They then get applied with group policy down to the file servers. You then have to go in and modify your file properties either automatically or manually to say that they have these different attributes from the file level. And then finally, for the individual computer, the user tries to go in and access it, and if they're allowed or denied, there's actually an audit policy event log that gets triggered that you can collect up to see if it works. This is the way of the future. I'm not recommending you go in and re-ACL every single folder and file in your file server. This is something that you're going to want to be aware of how it works, because you can literally say they are denied access if they're using a non-managed device, tablet, let's say. You can have full access to it if you don't have an intern tag. If you get that tag removed, you now have access to it. There's no group membership, but trying to remember who belongs to what group. Hilariousness that goes on in environments these days. I don't know if you guys ever changed jobs in your organization and still had access to stuff after you changed jobs. It's because you all belong to groups. If there weren't groups involved and the directory information was up to date, you would have been denied access instantly. So, dynamic access control, wicked stuff, wicked stuff. And with that, man, I'm actually looking at the time. We're over time. We're done. We can't show the fact that you've almost finished troubleshooting this one thing that you screwed up on this one thing.
So just to give you a little update on that, you know that whole VM Gen ID thing? Client Hyper-V? Maybe not so much. Brought up the DC, the snapshot that's applied is older than 60 days, and it doesn't like it. Can't finish the replication.
Yeah. So, thank you for joining us. this was Upgrading Your Active Directory. Mac.